All right, we are on lesson number 11 on this journey of power here. We have 13 lessons, so we only have a couple more. We'll be wrapping these up here real soon. We already have the next one prepared on the practical prayer life. What is a practical prayer life? We'll be working on that one. Nancy's got it all done. Nancy's always finding, whenever I do handouts, she's always finding where I had a misspell, left a letter out. That's her duty. She loves doing that. So I do it just intentionally, just to keep her happy. She's not here tonight, so I can say that. But she ended up doing the next one for us to have the third session there. And she got it all done. And I told her, I said, man, I found a mistake in there. I can't remember where I saw it. She took a copy home, and she'd been, I guess you guys didn't find any except for where I had put one in there on the contents. Yeah, she got Paul involved into that. So her and Paul were going through the next one trying to find it, and there wasn't one in there, but I just had to do it. And I know, I'm a mean guy. In my past life, I was the Grinch. People used to say, you're a mean one, you know. But we're in the lesson number 11, the ninth encounter. Remember, this is a journey here, like Pilgrim's Progress. And this all is at the Mountain of Persistence. I apologize, John and Carl have been working on trying to, we lost some things through, we think it was electrical lightning. So they're trying to get everything. They got some things back. They got the lights back up here. They don't have PowerPoint. They're working on getting that done with another computer. Actually, we would have PowerPoint tonight. I just didn't bring the thing in because I figured they had it on the computer, but it's on the computer that's not working now. So anyway, so that's where we're at, is on the Mountain of Persistence. So let's take and begin with this one. Look at Philippians. You have it right there. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 16. And pay attention to what Paul says here as we're talking about being persistent in our prayer. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But, now watch, this one thing I do. What is it, Paul? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that which are before, I press toward the mark. He is not slowing down. He's not backing down. He is persistently going forward. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now watch what he does here. He includes us now. Let us. He brings us into it. Remember, he says, brethren, I. Now he brings everybody into it. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect or complete, be thus minded. Have that same mindset. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So Paul is establishing that you and I, in our Christian life, need to live a persistent life. And he says, there's things that you have to forget. They could be bad things. They could be past victories. Forgetting those things, we don't live on past victories. We remember them, amen, that God, what he did for us, but we don't live on them. He says, I press toward the mark of the prize. It's like he's running to that finish line and he's doing that stretch that they do at the end to see who can get across. The word persistent here you have is defined as, and I'll try to make sure I go slow since you don't have the blanks on the screen, to be obstinately insistent. There's your word, insistent. To be obstinately insistent or tenacious in an activity. So it means to be obstinately insistent or tenacious in an activity. Secondly, to pursue a task, there's your blank, to pursue a task no matter the difficulty until completion. Now, being persistent is a pretty good quality. How many of you ever started a task and didn't complete it? Yeah, it's easy to do. And we need to understand that when it comes to spiritual things, this is not an area that we want to lack in. So it means to be obstinately insistent or tenacious in an activity. That's where Paul's coming from. to pursue a task no matter the difficulty until completion. Samuel Chadwick, under Timeless Insight, says something very interesting here. By the way, he was a Methodist preacher back in the 1800s when the Methodists used to be rock-solid gospel-preaching churches. And John Wesley and some of them that started all that, they were pretty good. Notice what Samuel Chadwick says here. There is no power like that of prevailing prayer. It turns ordinary mortals into men of power. And you could put men or women of power. He has a couple of books. He has one that's called The Path of Prayer, and then also another one that he put out back in the 1800s. It's called The Way to Pentecost. And remember the power that came down on them in that area because they were having a prayer meeting. Matter of fact, it's interesting. One of the writers that I had read here recently made comment on the day of Pentecost. You know, Jesus didn't tell them the last, what was the last command that Jesus told them? He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Actually, that's not the last one. The last one is to go at a wait at a prayer meeting until you receive power. So it's actually the power was the last command. And then when they had the power, then they could go fulfill what he had just told them previously. So here, there is no power like that of prevailing prayer. It turns ordinary mortals into men or women of power. Now, there's two considerations in conquering the mountain of persistence. Number one is models of persistence, and then modes of persistence. Now, did I mess up your guys' thing and put... Yeah, I did. So you guys have those in there. So, yeah, you can cross out the second one that's there. You see it? No, you have two of them. You have the one that says models of persistence, and then underneath it you have modes of persistence, and then right next to it, models of persistence. I don't know how that one got in there. And I'm catching it because we already talked about this. So mine's all blotted out. So let's look at models of persistence. Who in Scripture models persistence? Now, we have a definition for you here. The word model is defined as something or someone that serves as a pattern. There's your word, or example. It serves as a pattern or an example, a description used to help visualize a quality or thing. I remember when I was in Bible college, one of the pastors had made mention that he goes that when he was younger, they told him that he was a model preacher. And he goes, I looked at the word model, it means plastic imitation. So you have two blanks. You have the word pattern and you have the word quality. Here's another insight. Here, this is Billy Graham. Everybody knows this guy here. He says, from one end of the Bible to the other, we find the record of people whose prayers have been answered, people who turned the tide of history by prayer, men who prayed fervently and whom God answered. That reminds me of something on my phone. On my phone here, I was reading an article, and I took a picture of what it said. That, where'd that thing go? It has to do with what's taking place. Here it is, right here. They're talking right now that 1 million Muslims in Iran have turned to Christ, and they have had close to 50,000 mosques close in Iran. When I read that, I thought, that is really interesting, because what made me think of that after I read that was this right here. These prayer things, we pray for Iran, for conversions and for salvation and for God to show himself. So it got me thinking, these are given out by Every Home for Christ. They give them out absolutely free. They update them every year. So all the leaders are new leaders in there. Sometimes I don't always get it out to you in time. But when I was thinking about that, I started thinking about how are we actually a part of something that's happening overseas in Iran and don't even realize it. So I got to thinking about that because, think about it, these prayer maps are pretty clear cut on how to pray and where to pray. And I looked it up, and it says the exact number of users for the world prayer calendar isn't published by Every Home for Christ, but they figure that there's over 557 million people using these. That's how many they have, at least, that have gone out, that have been taken. Now, we may have some that are sitting back over here still to hand out. You follow me? Million globally are using these things. So if they're all praying, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, singular, avails much. So, folks, we may be a part of the end times more than we know. If you're using one of these prayer maps, that you are being used by God to touch these people, to change. Look what he says here. Men prayed fervently and whom God answered, whose prayers have been answered, people who have turned the tide of history by prayer. That's the power we have at our disposal. Joshua says this in this area. Well, that's your first example of persistence is the Joshua model. The Joshua model. There's your next blank. And we all know Joshua. This is an interesting prayer. Persistence. This is when they were being attacked by the Amorites, okay, the enemy of God's people. It says, and it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Bethoron, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon Azekah, and they died. And by the way, we're talking about stones. I don't know if these are hailstones or just stones from the sky. There's coming a day when there's going to be hailstones that are dropping to go against all the nations that are emerging on Israel, that had God not intervened, Israel would be defeated. But there's hailstones that will be coming down in the book of Revelation. They estimate that it will be weighing over 100 pounds each, falling. Correct. So he says, the Lord cast down great stones from heaven. Notice it's not anybody, it's God that's doing it upon them, and they died. And they were more which died with hailstones, so it was hailstones, than whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Now watch. Then spake Joshua to the Lord. Folks, this is a prayer. That's why we speak to the Lord, right? Now Joshua is speaking to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, S-U-N, up in the sky, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed. Now look at the next word, you ought to circle that, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still, say that seven times, in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. Joshua was a minister. He was a simple minister and servant to Moses. And when Moses died, was raised up to this position. And God, the Bible says that God never listened to a man like Joshua at that point in time. That thing stayed. They gained a whole day. Maybe that's why we have that leap year, huh? I don't know. But we have a whole day because he answered. And it was stayed there until they accomplished everything that needed to be done in this battle. That the Lord hearkened. Listen, think about that. That the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man. He did what Joshua asked. That's example one. That is persistence. Example number two, these are all very familiar people, is Daniel. Daniel, the Daniel example, or the Daniel model. Listen to what it says here. In Daniel chapter 10, 1 through 3, Then we'll jump to verse 8 and 9 and then 12 and 13. But in Daniel chapter 10, it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long. It was a ways off. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks, 21 days. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till the 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Therefore was I left alone and saw this great vision. There remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Now watch. Then he said unto me, God spoke to Daniel, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. 21 days, and yet God said, Daniel, I heard you the first day, and by the way, I'm here because of your prayer. I'm here because of your words, because of your prayer. But, he says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia, remember the Bible says there's principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, withstood me on 21 days, every single day. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So God heard Daniel. Tell you what, 21 days, listen, 21 days in a row of fasting and praying. And remember, Daniel prayed usually 3 times a day. He hasn't eaten for 3 weeks. He has been praying consistently and persistently for 3 weeks, not hearing a thing. But God was hearing, and God says, I heard you from the first day, and I sent an angel to come, and there was a battle. Folks, there is spiritual warfare trying to hinder your prayers and mine. The prince of Persia, the principality over that region of Iran. Persia is Iran today. And as God sent the answer to come down on the first day, he arrived to bring he sent an angel to bring the answer, and there was another demonic angel that kept him on day 1 and day 2 and day 3 and day 12 and day 21. And finally, God sent Michael, who was one of the covering cherubs, who took Lucifer's place, came down and freed him to go bring the answer. Folks, we don't know what's happening when we're praying. Persistence. Angels, I believe, are often involved in answers to prayer. So when you're praying, and it seems like you've been praying persistently and for a long time, you know what you need to do? Keep praying, but you need to say, Lord, it's about time for Michael to come on down. I was with a good friend of mine. He visits here every once in a while, Mike Kreger. And he was telling me he had a chance to witness to somebody, a good friend of his, and his friend told him, he goes, I am not interested in your gospel, your good news, whatever you want to call it. He goes, I might be interested if an angel came and talked to me about it, but he goes, well, my name just happens to be Michael. Yeah, Mike for short. So here we have two great examples, or two models. The example number 3, which is one of my favorite books in the Old Testament, is the Nehemiah example. Now, Nehemiah is an incredible guy, but I want you to understand something just for a minute about Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a servant for a king, a pagan king. In other words, he was working a regular, secular job. He wasn't a prophet, he wasn't a king, he wasn't a priest, he was just a guy who was serving. In Nehemiah 1, verse 1 through 6, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislew, which, by the way, Chislew is our November, December, right where we're at right now. November, December, right in there. It was the 20th year, and I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem, that's their holy city. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down. The gates thereof are burned with fire. Now watch. And it came to pass when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days. We didn't know how many days, but it was more than just a couple. He mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Folks, there comes times when persistence in prayer must be holding hands with fasting. Daniel was fasting. Nehemiah is fasting. When there are those things that are of great concern and value, that you're even bringing them up to God Almighty, the God of heaven, there is a time when it's not going to hurt you and me to neglect our body for the spiritual, to afflict ourselves, if you would. That has nothing to do with maintaining, getting favor. But Jesus says, and when you fast. Jesus assumes that we have regular set times of the week that we set aside to fast. It's been said, and you've heard it before, most Christians don't pray and fast, they just pray fast. And this is not what he's talked about. So here he's fasting here, Nehemiah, and it says that he prayed before the God of heaven and said, and this is always an amazing thing to me, that God is allowing us, that are several thousand years from when this prayer was being made by Nehemiah, God had it recorded so that you and I could put our ears and listen all the way back thousands of years, and hear what he said. And evidently, it's important enough for us to hear what he said because it may be beneficial for us to use as a pattern for our doing. I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God. Now, if you ever see that word terrible in Scripture describing God, it is our word that we would use today is awesome. Our great and awesome God. That was the old English there. Now, watch what he says. He reminds him that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. It's almost like Nehemiah is praying who God is. Now, God already knows who he is, but sometimes we just need to declare it. Let thine ear be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night. For the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we, he included himself, have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. And of course, we know that he goes on to build these walls again and reestablish the city of Jerusalem. By the way, if you were to jump over to chapter 2, and you don't need to, but we're in Nehemiah chapter 1. If you were to jump over to Nehemiah chapter 2, God begins to answer that prayer as he walks in before the king and his countenance is kind of sad. And by the way, in those days, if you walked in with a sad countenance and it caused the king to give him a bad day, he could have him taken out and executed. And he walks in with his sad countenance, and the king sees him. He goes, this is not anything, you know, explain yourself. And he says, why would I not be good with my people, my city? And he finds favor with the king, and the king says, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And it says that he prayed a prayer to God, and then he spoke. Sometimes prayers can be days. Sometimes they can be what we would call a prayer flare, just at the moment. Lord, help me to find favor with the king. And he got everything. He got the lumber yard. He got all the passes to cross over. He had protection. He had everything that God gave to him. Now, that happened when what we're talking about now, that happened in chapter 2 and verse 1 in the month of Nisan, N-I-S-A-N. Remember, he found out about it in the month of Chislu, which is November, December. That means Nisan was the month of March and April. And so it was 5 to 6 months of beginning to pray before God began to answer. So it does take time at times. But I wonder, as I was reading this, I wonder where the people of prayer like this are today. Where are they? God said, I want you to read about these guys, but I want you to be these guys. Example 4. This is going to be one of the favorite ones here. Anybody have any idea who example 4 is going to be? Anna. You didn't know I was going to be talking about you tonight, did you? It's Anna. Anna, however they pronounce it in the Bible. This is the Christ has been born. It's the day, he's 8 days old, coming in to be circumcised. Simeon sees him, is excited. And our text is in Luke chapter 2. Look what it says. And there was one, only one. There's only one Anna. Amen? She doesn't even want to look up. Look at her. If I don't look up, he don't see him. If I don't see him, he's not there. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, sorry, Anna, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God, I think she was in her 90s or better. She's still serving God with fastings and with prayers night and day. Now, I know when you get older, sleep doesn't always come as it used to, amen? And so during those times when you get up and you say, I just can't sleep, I think Anna would pray. Here is a lady who is, I'm just going to say this because I'm getting up in age, but some of you are leading the pack, all right? There, you don't see her, you don't see Simeon, you don't see them stop serving, stop praying, stop fasting. And God is recording this. These are what we would call, all of these examples are what I would call at least, history makers. They are praying behind the scenes, and God is changing history. They're making things happen because of their persistent prayer and fasting. Example 5 is the early church model. Acts 12, 5, and then verses 11 to 16. We are familiar with this one. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. And then you have the next two words, but prayer. But prayer was made, now look at this, without ceasing. Persistence of the church of God unto God for him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel, there's another angel in answer to prayer, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. They expected him to be dead the next morning. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Did you catch that? Many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. You're crazy, girl. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. He's already dead. They killed him. It's his spirit. But Peter continued knocking. He was being persistent on his end. And when they had opened the door, they saw him. They were astonished. What were they praying for? Peter's release. What did they receive? And what were they astonished? I would love, listen, how many times have you been praying for somebody and you're still praying for them, for God to deliver them, to set them at liberty like Peter? And if they came and on your door, some of us may be astonished that they're there. Huh? That's okay. I want God to astonish me in my answers. Amen? I want him to do something. Even if I... What was it that one guy said? Lord, forgive my unbelief, my doubts. Forgive that even in advance. Astonish me. I want to be astonished. Rhoda was the only one. Some people get on Rhoda. I think she was the only one that was sure. I seen him with my eyes. It wasn't a spirit. I knew his voice, and I'm just excited that he's here. And they were like, no, 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 no. Those are just five examples. The sixth example, did I put that in your guys' thing? You only got five? The fifth one? Oh, the church. Yeah, it was the early church model. Do you guys have, you don't have six in yours? Anybody have six? Then you have to be number six. I just thought of that right now. That's pretty good, huh? It was because of Anna. Now we go into modes of persistence. Hey, how many of you all want to be number six example? I do. So, Andrew Murray, he's the one that we handed out the books on with Christ in the School of Prayer. I don't even want to ask. I know you guys that have received one have read it several times now. Listen to what Andrew Murray says here. Of all the mysteries of the prayer world, the need of persevering prayer is one of the greatest. Just as a plowman has to take his 10,000 steps and sow his 10,000 seeds, each one a preparation for the final harvest. So there is a need before oft repeated, persevering prayer, all working out some desired blessing. Mode is defined, here you go, a functional arrangement. A functional arrangement of something. a particular form. There's your next blank. A particular form or variety to a thing or activity. And that activity is persevering prayer. So what are the different modes? Mode number one is tenacity. If you don't know how to spell it, it's right underneath. Tenacity. Think about this as a mode of prayer doing with persevering. Tenacity is defined as persistence in maintaining, adhering to, or seeking, there's your blank, seeking something valued or desired. There's your next blank. So tenacity is persistence in maintaining and adhering to, or seeking something valued or desired. Mode one is tenacity. In Luke chapter 9, verse 51, it's talking about Jesus when he was going to go to Calvary. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. Listen to what it says about Jesus. He, Jesus, steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He had tenacity. There was nothing that was going to stop him from going to the cross. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in one of the Gospels, he set his face like a flint. Tenacity. We need that quality, tenacity. Mode two is audacity. If you don't know how to spell that, it's right underneath there again. Audacity is defined as, now listen, recklessly bold, intrepidly daring. Recklessly bold, intrepidly daring. The story is a familiar one. The disciples are at the sea. The storm is raging. Jesus is walking on the water towards them. And we pick up in Matthew 14, verse 26 to 29. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were excited. What? They were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." Peter had to say, now, is this not funny? These disciples were ones that were probably praying for Peter, and they thought it was his spirit that was out there in that meeting, or would be one day. It would be later. And so here we see, it is a spirit, and they cried out in fear, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if you would," I know that Jesus is here in body as Peter's talking with him, but if you consider it's a prayer to him, it's a request. "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." I want you to think what's happening here. They're scared to death that they're going to die. Peter is an expert fisherman. This is no ordinary storm. This is a major storm. They're scared to death that they're going to perish. And now he's asking Jesus, "If it is you, invite me to come out there in the midst of this storm." And Jesus says one word. Come. Now I want to suggest to you that when Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water," I want to say that that would be recklessly bold. I would say that would be recklessly bold. And I would say Peter has audacity here. And Jesus says to him, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Understand, Peter wasn't just walking on the water. He was actually walking on one word, come. And that's what made it possible for him to see God work. He said, "Well, yeah, but he began to sink." But he's the only one that can say that. Yeah, nobody else is there. Mode number three, consistency. Again, it's there for you. Consistency. Consistency is defined as marked by steady continuity, free from variation. How many of you have to guard against consistency, staying consistent in your prayer? Being steady, being free from variation, going off. Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always, there's consistency, to pray and not to faint. Don't give up. I think there's a lesson that we see in the life of Daniel where he prayed morning, noon, and night. He had set times. Peter and James, when they went to the temple at the hour of prayer, it was 3 o'clock, they had set times. The psalmist says, in evening and morning at noon will I pray. Set times. I mean, how many of us operate on set times? Go to the gym, set times, or do this at set times. We do a lot of things at set times because it keeps us on schedule. It keeps us from going off. So consistency. Mode number 4 is intensity. Intensity. That's there too. All of these will be at the right underneath there for you. Intensity defined. Existing in an extreme degree, demonstrating great zeal, there's your blank, determination, or concentration. Being very intense. Just demonstrating a great zeal in your prayer, a determination in your prayer, good concentration in your prayer. In Genesis 32, verse 24, there's more that I want to read of that than I have here listed. In Genesis 32, verse 24, it says, I'm going to read that. You can see that it's here, but I want you to listen. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So this angel, or I believe it was Christ incarnate, pre-incarnate, okay, who was wrestling with Jacob, and Jacob's not letting go. Jacob must have been a pretty strong guy, that he finally had to reach over and touch his thigh to put his thigh out of joint. And so it says he touched the hollow and it was out of joint, and as he was wrestling with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, Jacob said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. This is when the name took place. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. That was a wrestling match. That was a prayer. And Jacob was left alone, and there he wrestled with a man. Intensity, until the break of day, until he got the blessing of God. How long are you willing to stay there? At what cost? How intense are you? Folks, I tell you what, when Jacob walked away, he walked away as Israel. A man who had wrestled with God himself. over the blessing. And as he walked away, he walked away like this. I tell you what, when you get in a wrestling match with God, you'll come out with a blessing, but he'll always alter and change your walk. When his family saw him coming, who is that? I can't tell. That's Jacob. When he gets there, he goes, no, I'm not Jacob anymore. I'm Israel. Answered prayer. That's what we call intense. And then last mode is reliability. Reliability. Reliability is defined as fit to be relied upon. Can God rely on you? One who won't quit or give up under stress, like Jacob. May God change our names, amen, and bless us. The prayer of Jabez, oh, that thou would bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. Some of those things that we ask for, enlarge my coast, would be a great thing, but with enlarged coast comes also greater responsibilities. So think about what you're praying for and asking God for. Reliability, fit to be relied upon, one who won't quit or give up under stress. Acts chapter 10 and verse number 2, a devout man, talking about Cornelius, he's not even a saved man at this point in time, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He wasn't even converted yet, but he believed in God. Cornelius was a reliable man. Tenacity, audacity, consistency, intensity, reliability. I think all of these characteristics are found in the examples that we looked at. Nehemiah, Daniel, Anna, and others. In your afterthoughts, ponder what you think the difference is between tenacity in prayer and audacity in prayer. Can you describe someone in the Bible who fits the two definitions of persistence in prayer and explain why? That's for you. Our prayer tonight is there, and this is an interesting one because it should hit everybody pretty easy. Is there something or someone that has long been a focus of your prayers, and yet those prayers have not been answered? Based on this teaching on the mountain of persistence, pray for one or more qualities that you feel you need to persist in your praying for this person or this need. Folks, they're dependent upon us. If I just say, well, I'm not seeing anything happen, it just doesn't seem like it's working. That invisible battle that you are not able to see that God has revealed to us is still taking place there. And we cannot give up on, especially if it's a person that we love dearly. So let's take a few minutes here. I know we're out of time. It's right at 8 o'clock. Let's just take a few minutes here, and you can just, right where you're at, pray. And whoever that person or that thing is that you've been praying a long time for, and it still hasn't come about, grab onto a couple of these qualities and ask God to grant them to you to keep moving forward.